It's 15 after 5 o'clock. You drive home on a Tuesday downtown. Live from Seasons Restaurant, 427 Main Street in Bangor. Rich Kimble, Brian Stackpole here, and time to talk hockey. And to do that, we're joined on the G&M Family Market telephone line by Mike McMahon of College Hockey News. Mike, good afternoon.
How are you?
Doing great. Season off to a very interesting start. Maybe not so much if you're a Black Bear fan, but we'll get to that later on. What are your impressions of the first few weeks of the season?
Some of the things I think, you know, around Hockey East anyway, are probably things that we expected. Boston College is right up near the top. Lowell's right up near the top. Those are things we certainly expected to see. I think some people are surprised by Providence's start, you know, even coming off that national championship with the guys that they lost, still be undefeated almost at Thanksgiving through 9 or 10 games here. I don't think anybody would have predicted at the start of the year. And also, you know, Merrimack is a team that started really hot. They only have one loss. And then there's been some teams that have probably been surprising for the wrong reasons as well. You can look at a team like BU, who's playing better now, but certainly struggled out of the gates. And obviously, like you said, we'll talk about Maine. They've certainly struggled. And some others as well, UConn over the last couple of weeks anyway. But there's been some surprises, but I think also a lot that a lot of people would have expected at the beginning of the year.
Pretty early, obviously, but in the pairwise rankings, Quinnipiac right up at the top, St. Cloud State, UMass Lowell number three. In this early going, who would you say are maybe the two or three best teams in the country?
I think Quinnipiac is definitely up there. You know, a lot of people are going to talk about their league and their some of the bottom-tier teams in the ECAC not matching up nationally, but you know, they've been, I think they've proven it over the last 4 or 5 years anyway, that they're not just one of the best teams in that league, they're one of the best teams in the country, and they have been. I think that, I personally think that we're going to see Lowell, you know, being close to there at the end of the year, Boston College, of course, as well. Even North Dakota, who's, I know they lost to Wisconsin a couple weeks ago, but were the clear-cut number one for the first few weeks of the year. You know, it's a lot of familiar faces, for sure, at least right now, but that's in college hockey. That's not necessarily a surprise. When teams have runs, it's usually not a year or two. You know, you've got your teams that are there all the time, like BC and North Dakota, and then you get teams like Lowell and even St. Cloud that when they have these runs, usually last 5 or 6 years at least. If you know, once they get beyond that, I think you're in a territory where you could put them into the categories of a North Dakota or a Boston College that really have long sustained success.
Well, here in the Northeast, of course, a lot of pride in Hockey East as a conference, and it's been the leader in college hockey for a long time. But would you say Hockey East is still at the top? Is this still the strongest and deepest conference around?
I think it is right now. I mean, there's obviously still a lot of games left to be played, and I know the NCHC was sort of that league last year. But, you know, you look at Hockey East right now and the number of teams that they have near the top half of the pairwise, and even the polls, which I think are not as good of an indicator because a lot of that is subjective. But, you know, BC, Lowell, BU, Providence, even Merrimack is up there right now with one loss. And again, it's early. So when you have zero losses or one loss this early in the season, it really gets skewed you know, quite heavily in the pairwise. That formula doesn't exactly know what to do yet with teams that haven't lost or have only lost one game. So those numbers are going to shift dramatically, I think, over the course of the year. But if the first 10 or 11 games is any indication, Hockey East should have four teams in the national tournament again, if not five, maybe even six, I mean, depending upon how that middle of the pack shakes out. So it looks right now as if it'll be one of the top, you know, right near the top in terms of conferences across the country.
Mike McMahon of College Hockey News with us here on Downtown. Well, we got to watch Jack Eichel have a tremendous season last year, and that game has certainly translated well into the National Hockey League.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody that watched him last year is much surprised. It seems like some people that just covered the NHL were a little surprised, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, this was an 18-year-old kid, but the fact that he did what he did last year against bigger, stronger players playing college hockey, and he's a strong kid himself, I think is I think that's showing now, you know, when he's in the NHL playing against 28, 29, 30-year-old men who are probably even at he's only 18 still, so still much bigger and much stronger than he is. But he's strong enough to be able to hold his own against those bigger guys.
Do you think we've got some Hobie Baker candidates in Hockey East this year?
That'll be interesting. You know, I think that there probably are. Tyler Kelleher right now looks like at UNH that he's going to be up near the top there. I know he was leading the nation in scoring for a while. I didn't look at the the scoring leaders after this weekend, but he's certainly up there. And then, you know, if you're looking at goaltenders that might be in that conversation, and I know they don't always get the love that they should when it comes to the Hobie, but Thatcher Demko looks like he's going to definitely deserve to be in that conversation as well. He's got six shutouts already on the season, and a lot of talk that he might even break or come close to breaking the national record, which I think is 12. So those two guys, I think, are definitely going to be considered. But I'm sure over the course of the next couple of months, there's going to be a few more that probably stick out as well.
Well, the Maine Black Bears have helped get him a little closer to that shutout record. They've had such a struggle out of the gate, 0-8-3, five shutouts on the season. And although you talk to a number of people who say, yeah, they're not playing well and certainly some struggles offensively, but they've been in some games, even the BC series and Lowell as well. They played well at times. Somebody who was there told me yesterday, they'd never seen a team play so well and lose as badly as Maine did on that Sunday, 6-0 loss to Lowell.
Yeah, there's a couple of things there, though, that I think you can at least put some faith in that it's going to turn around at some point. First of all of the numbers indicate that they're getting very unlucky right now. And, you know, I'm not saying that they're going to suddenly be contenders for a hockey championship this season, but I think that they are getting very unlucky. I do think at some point they're going to go through a stretch here where they win some games. They haven't played the easiest of schedules, you know, especially the last couple of weeks with BC and Lowell. But there are some of their underlying statistics that you look at and I think are promising. They're averaging up over 30 shots on goal per game, which for a team that isn't scoring goals, I mean, it sounds simple, but you hear coaches say it all the time. You can't put the puck in the net if you don't shoot it. They're clearly shooting it, which means they're possessing the puck at least for good portions of the game and also putting themselves in position to put shots on goal. So you would think at some point, just from a percentage standpoint, law of averages, tell you that at some point, by putting more than 30 shots on goal per game, they're going to end up scoring more goals. I think their shooting percentage right now is around 3%, which is incredibly low. I think the national average last year was somewhere around 8 or 9. So just the law of averages tell you that at some point, especially with the number of chances they're getting, they're going to end up scoring more goals. They have to. And also, the other thing that I think you can look at and be somewhat optimistic about is their goaltending. They've gotten pretty good goaltending.
Right.
Whether it's been Rob McGovern, I mean, Rob McGovern's probably been the best of the bunch so far, but their goaltending has been good enough to win them games. So if once that offense starts to click a little bit and just, again, statistics tell you that they're going to at some point, then I think you're going to see them put together a stretch of some wins, especially, you know, against a schedule, once they get into some easier portions of the schedule. And I know looking at it yesterday, their rest of November and into December didn't look like it was too bad. You know, they had Princeton, I know, twice, both of those games at home. Obviously, those aren't going to count in the league, but you hope that maybe playing another struggling team like that when you're at home and if you can get some wins there, maybe that gets some momentum going for you.
Well, certainly, as you can understand here, fans see that zero in the win column 11 games in and press the panic button. What's the perception of this Maine team outside of the state?
Most people pick them near the bottom of the league anyway. And I think when you look at the guys that they lost last year, obviously Devin Shore and Ben Hunt being the one and number two, and a big number one and number two, I think people thought they were going to struggle. I know I did. I know in my preseason poll with the media, I think I had them picked 10th. Because I did think that this was a team that was very young, and young teams typically struggle. But I know the perception, at least among the people that I talk to, is that it's not an issue. I mean, there was a talk, I did an interview yesterday where somebody asked me, you know, is Red Gendron going to survive this? And I said, I hope so, because I think the problem's not the coach. I mean, they've got a really good coach. Anybody you talk to around the nation will tell you that Red Gendron's one of the smartest coaches they've ever been around. So, and he's built, you know, he built a national championship, helped build a national championship team at Yale only a couple of years ago.
Right.
So I don't think the problem's the coach. I don't think the problem is the system. I don't think it's anything like that. I think that they have gotten a little unlucky, and ultimately because they've gotten a little unlucky, and they're probably a team that's young enough that they were going to be a team that had some struggles over the course of the year anyway, it's just sort of magnified those struggles. And you've had the record that you've had to start the year. But I do think that it's going to turn around here at some point, and I think you're going to see them put some wins together. Doesn't necessarily mean I think they're going to end up finishing fourth or fifth in Hockey East. You know, I think they're probably somewhere in the range of 9th to 12th. But I do think they're going to go through a stretch here where they are able to win some games for sure.
Now, I saw you mention this on social media the other day. Was it the 06-07 Merrimack team that sort of set the standard in recent years for offensive futility?
Yes. That was actually my first year covering them. They scored 37 goals in 34 games. It was a long 34 games. But, I mean, and then just to go back to some of those numbers, the numbers that this main team has right now in terms of goals per game on average and shooting percentage are worse than what that Merrimack team was over that 34 games. And that's been probably the worst offense in the history of college hockey. This main team is not going to be the worst offense in the history of college hockey. At some point, those numbers tell you that they're going to start to play, or they're going to start to at least get some more bounces and start to get some more goals.
There you go. Reason for optimism for the Black Bears. Mike McMahon, College Hockey News. I always enjoy talking with you, Mike. Thanks so much for making time for us this afternoon.
Absolutely. Anytime. I appreciate it.
26 minutes after 5 o'clock here on Downtown.